Continuing our series in the Westminster Confession of Faith this morning, beginning chapter 18, which is about the assurance of God's grace and His wonderful salvation. Let me read the first two paragraphs to you, and then we can look at them together. Although hypocrites and other unregenerate men may vainly deceive themselves with false hopes and carnal presumptions of being in the favor of God and the state of salvation, which hope of theirs shall perish, yet such as truly believe in the Lord Jesus and love Him in sincerity, endeavoring to walk in all good conscience before Him, may in this life be certainly assured that they are in a state of grace and may rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, which hope shall never make them ashamed. This certainty is not a bare conjectural and probable persuasion grounded upon a fallible hope, but an infallible assurance of faith founded upon the divine truth of the promises of salvation, the inward evidence of those graces unto which these promises are made, the testimony of the Spirit of adoption, witnessing with our spirits that we are the children of God, which Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance, whereby we are sealed to the day of redemption. Well, chapters 17 and 18 of the Confession are closely related. Chapter 17 discusses the perseverance of the saints and the certainty of salvation. Chapter 18 treats a related topic when it asks what we ourselves can know about our own salvation. But the chapters are linked even more closely in the closing and opening lines of the two chapters. The last section of chapter 17 reminded us of the Scripture's teaching about the perseverance of the saints and included a warning that some Christians fall away sometimes, causing much harm to themselves and others. Well, the opening words of chapter 18 begin by addressing an even worse situation, that of hypocrites and other unregenerate people. As the book of Job reminds us, there are people who vainly deceive themselves, and they often begin their journey along a well-trodden track. You can recognize the path easily, for it's the one where God is forgotten at the first turn. One bad turn after another winds the hypocrite away from the truth about themselves, until, at last, false hopes begin to diminish. Eventually, all confidence is lost and the emptiness of the religion is exposed. Worse still, it is hard to find the way back. For those who simply presumed or pretended that all is well, they discover that they were never tethered to the Word of God and they were grasping at a spiritual spider's web of deception. Well, sometimes the way of hypocrites is very subtle. Sometimes their pretenses are all too obvious, at least to the child of God. As the prophet Micah explains, people can actually get to the point where they're bribing judges and teaching God's word to get rich, even producing prophecies for cash, and yet still think that the Lord is among them and that no disaster will threaten them. The reality is that these people, in spite of their own thinking, are not blessed by God. They're blessing themselves while doing the devil's work. Well, it's an understatement, then, to declare that they are not in God's favor and not in a state of salvation. And so our Lord warns every hypocrite that there will come a day when many will say, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, drive out demons, perform wonderful miracles?" Then I will tell them plainly, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer." Well, this reminder about self-deception is doubtless a solemn beginning to a chapter on the assurance of God's grace and salvation, but it's by no means the end, for there is much more that can be said about the topic of our salvation. And first of all, we need to remember that Christians really can know if they are Christians. There are people who truly believe in the Lord Jesus, who love Him in sincerity, and who may not succeed, but always endeavor to walk in all good conscience before the Lord. These people ought to know that they are Christians. Perhaps that's you. well, then you may be certain and assured that you are no longer in a state of sin and judgment, but in a state of grace. You see, there's a clear association in Scripture between faith and obedience and the certainty of God's grace toward us in Jesus Christ. Would you like to know, if you've come to know Him, that you've passed out of death into life? Do your leaders want to discern whether we're of the truth and can legitimately reassure our hearts before God? It's normal for Christians to want to know if Christ abides in us by His Spirit. And it's been the norm since the days of the Apostle John, at least. That's probably why in his first general epistle, he posts these very questions and then comes up with very clear answers. If you want to know if you have eternal life, then believe in the name of the Son of God, he says. Obey the Lord's commands. Love the brothers. And make sure that you're not loving in word or in talk, but in deed and in truth. And then all that will remain for you is to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And as Paul told the Roman Christians, that hope will never put us to shame. Now, it's worth mentioning that when we speak about the certainty of our salvation, that we're not speaking loosely. This certainty is not the same thing as an educated guess, a likely bet. This is no bare conjectural or probable persuasion. The author of the letter to the Hebrews chose his words wisely when in the sixth chapter he calls it a full assurance of hope until the end, a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. It's not too much then to say that this assurance is infallible. It's without error. We really can know these things without reason for doubt. Indeed, our assurance is founded on God's truth, His promises about salvation. That same chapter in Hebrews tells us that God wants to demonstrate His promises more convincingly. He wants His heirs to see the unchangeable character of His purpose. And the God who does not lie even added an oath to His promise to give us strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. Well, this hope is further confirmed by the inward evidence of those graces unto which these promises are made. One only has to think again of John's statements on the subject, which I referred to just a moment ago. Statements similar to those made by Peter on one occasion and Paul on another. The old Puritan Thomas Goodwin sums up the Bible's teaching about the relationship between personal sanctification and growth and holiness and personal assurance of salvation when he comments that the Spirit writes first all graces in us and then teaches us to read His handwriting. But as these paragraphs note, the Spirit does more than just this. He also witnesses with our spirits that we are children of God in the face of our sin or perhaps our suffering. As Paul explains in Romans 8, the Spirit of the Father and the Son reminds us that we belong to the divine family. He assures us that we really are God's children. And in doing so, He's assuring us of our salvation, isn't He? The Spirit in His work and in His witness is a foretaste, an installment, a pledge, or to use an older word, an earnest of our inheritance that we look forward to. To paraphrase the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, it's the Spirit who seals our salvation, giving us that divine security that we need until the day of our redemption, the day we die or the day that Christ comes to take us home. To quote the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So the triune God assures us that we are His children. We are bought with the blood of His Son, and sealed by His Spirit.
And with that good news in our minds and hearts, we can worship our God this morning. Well, let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the great salvation that is ours in Jesus Christ. We pray that your word would assure us, even when we see how sinful we are, and even as we struggle through our problems and suffering in this life, we pray that you would assure us that we really are your children, bought by your Son, and sealed and gifted by your Spirit. Help us, we pray, for we ask this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.